Magandang gabi muli ho sa inyong lahat. Ako po si Pastor Alvin, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastor po ng iglesyang ito. So, isang paalaala lamang na gusto ko i-echo sa nabanggit ng ating kapatid na si Mike. Manunumbalik muli next month ang ating prayer service. September 9 po ng Sabado magaganap ito. Mga alas 9 o alas 10. Titiyakin po namin ang oras ng pagtitipo na ito at ipapaalam po namin kung kailan at saan ito magaganap. So I hope na makasama po namin kayo sa oras ng panalangin pag-iglesia natin. Mga nakaraan na taon, nabalitaan po namin, nung kami naglilingkod pa ho, tayo pa'y naglilingkod pa sa Iglesia ng Redeemer, na meron daw isang propeta na magkoconduct ng conference sa isang bahagi ng emirate dito sa bansa. Kumalat itong balita na ito dahil pinasabog po ang announcement na ito. Namigay sila ng mga flyers sa grocery stores at sinabi na ito ay isang qualified na propeta. Siya ay nagbibigay ng prophecies na nagkakatotoo daw. Ito ay nagbibigay ng mga healing. At dahil ho dito ay sumikat itong mamang ito. Kaso sa sobrang laki ng kanyang publicity media, pinatawag lahat karamihan ng mga leaders ng mga Christian circles o evangelical at tinanong kung sila may kinalaman sa amin. Dahil ho sa bansa na to, kailangan ho natin mag-ingat. Dahil sa bansa na to, isa lang ang kinikilalang propeta. At dahil doon ay sinuspindi ang conference na ito. Napakadaming tao sa panahon ho natin na nagsasabi na sila ay propeta at nagbibigay ng mga kanyi-kanyang mga kwalifikasyon. Meron din mga apostol. Meron ho mga tao na nagsasabi na kami ay inanoint at tinawag ng Diyos at meron silang mga inilista na qualifications. Totoo ba na may mga propeta at apostol pa rin ba ngayon? Kung meron man, ano ba ang kwalifikasyon na pinapakita ng Biblia? Dapat ba natin silang pakinggan at sundan? Pero kung meron man tayo titignan na kwalifikasyon, pagdating po sa mga apostol or apostles, kailangan po natin tignan sa Acts chapter 1, kung saan po natin sila aaralin ngayong gabi na ito. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series on this historical book na ang tawag ay The Book of Acts. Ito ay ang account that records the transition in redemptive history. It describes ang history and mission ng early church. Ang Book of Acts ay second part of a two-volume book written by Dr. Luke. Ang unang volume ay ang Gospel of Luke that talks about the orderly account of what God began to do and teach. Matatagpuan po yan sa Luke 1 verse 1. Sorry, Luke 1, 1 hanggang 4. At ang Book of Acts naman is what was, yung pangalawang volume, is what Jesus continued to do and teach. And this is through His Spirit-empowered witnesses, which is yung po yung inaral natin last week. Last week din nakita po natin that Christ has yung resurrection ni Christ that emboldened yung kanyang mga disciples. Jesus spent around 40 days sa kanyang discipleship course sa mga disciples niya, talking about the kingdom of God. And after that, He gives them the Great Commission and instructs them to stay at Jerusalem for a few days para intayin ang pagdating ng banal na Espiritu, to empower them to be witnesses to all the nations. Our study ended by Jesus being carried up to the heavens, visibly, bodily, and He will return also in the same fashion. So, ang tanong, after po nun, anong ginagawa ng mga disciples while waiting? Ano ang kanilang ginagawa after binigay ng Panginoon yung instructions na mag-antay? Well, followers of Jesus constantly pray, search the scripture, and trust God's sovereignty as they discern His will. Followers of Jesus constantly pray, search the scripture, and trust God's sovereignty as they discern His will. Yung passage po natin ay divided into 3 points. Number one, seek God in constant prayer. Verses 12 hanggang 14. Number two, search and speak scripture. Verses 15 hanggang 20. And number three, submit to God's sovereignty. Verses 21 to 14. Number one, seek God in constant prayer. Verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. So, after Jesus ascended to heaven, sumunod kaagad ang mga disciples sa kanyang instructions. Agad-agad po silang pumunta sa Jerusalem. Now, ang Sabbath day's journey dito does not mean na nangyari yung ascension on a Sabbath day. This is not the timing of the journey, but the distance of the journey. Bagamat hindi ibig sabihin neto na aabutin sila hanggang Sabat sa journey po na ito, dahil malapit lang po yung Mount of Olives papunta po sa Jerusalem. Mga, sabi ng mga scholars natin, more or less, mga 1 kilometer. So, pagdating nila sa Jerusalem, saan naman sila dumiretso? Tingnan natin verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Ito po muna tayo dyan. Dumiretso sila agad sa isang bahay. Now, hindi clear kung kaninong bahay ito. Maari siguro yung pagmay-ari ito ng nanay ni John Mark. Or maybe ito yung lugar na kung saan pinagdausan yung Lord's Supper. Or baka naman ito yung lugar na kung saan Jesus appeared muli sa kanyang mga disciples. Or maybe ito ay lahat. Ay tama. Hindi natin alam. Hindi natin tiyak. Pero kung ito lahat ang mga lugar na ito, then masasabi po natin na napaka-memorable ng upper room na ito. Pero kung ang point siguro ni Dr. Luke dito ay ito ay isang lugar na kung saan pamilyar sa mga disciples, kaya agad-agad sila lahat pumunta doon. At sino naman ang nasa kwarto pagpasok ng upper room? Sino yung mga nasa meeting? Makita natin sa verse 13 hanggang 14. Yung listahan. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So Luke intentionally listed 11 apostles or 11 disciples para ma-highlight ang missing disciple na si Judas who betrayed Jesus. He prepares his readers early on for what is about to happen a few verses from that time. Now itong list ng disciples ay marahil ay similar sa Matthew chapter 10, sa Mark chapter 3, and sa Luke chapter 6. Ang pagkakaiba lang nila, however, kung bibabasahin niyo po yung listahan na ito, na yung Acts ay yung listahan ng Acts magkakaiba iba sa mga accounts na ito dahil iba yung pagkakasunod-sunod niya sa pangalan. Sa Gospel of Luke, magkakasunod ang mga magkakapatid. Si Peter, kapatid na si Andrew. Si James, kapatid na si John. Pero pagdating sa Acts, ang magkatabi ho iba. Si Peter, katabi si, kasunod si John. Si James, katabi si Andrew. It seems like si Luke intentionally, with the Holy Spirit's inspiration, regrouped ang mga pangalan ng disciples sa Acts, hindi according through blood ties, kung hindi according to spiritual ties. Kasi may nagbago. Kung mapapansin ninyo, kasama dito si Mary, ang mga anak niya, na kung saan kapatid na lalaki ni Jesus. Mga blood ties din ni Jesus ito. Actually, immediate family ni Jesus did not believe sa kanya nung time na siya po ay nung unang pagdating niya. they refused to believe kung sino siya. Hindi na pangan, pero after po ng resurrection, they start to believe and follow si Jesus Christ. Immediately, they believed that He was the Messiah after ng resurrection. Hindi na panganay na anak ang tingin ni Mary kay Jesus. At ang mga kapatid naman niya, hindi na panganay na kuya ang tingin nila. Instead, they now see Jesus as their spiritual elder brother. Their Savior, their Lord, their Messiah. At kung mapapansin po natin sa unang meeting, there is nearly nothing in common sa bawat isa sa kanila. Ang mga disciples ay hindi din magkakaparehas ng mga karakter. Minsan, nagkakaaway-away pa ho sila, hindi sila nagkakasundo. And within that group, may mga babae din sila nakasama. Na kung saan, hindi ho normal to sa pananambahan. That's why ho sa temple, meron tinatawag na court of women, na kung saan hiwalay po sa mga kalalakihan. Pero dito, sa upper room na to, magkakasama ho sila. At later on, madadagdagan pa sila na kung saan that would sum up to 120 people. 120 people who have nothing in common probably sa isa't isa. Clearly, they are not united by blood ties, similar characteristics, gender, age, education, and profession. Hindi ito yung reason kung bakit sila nagsasama-sama. They are united because of Christ. Mga kapatid, this is a wonderful reminder po sa atin dito sa Crossroads na ang unity po natin ay hindi similar life experiences. Hindi po dahil sa similar seasons of life kaya tayo magkakasama. Hindi dahil na tayo magkakababayan ang bawat isa. Hindi pare-pareho ng interest o yung mga chinichear natin na team sa sports. Magkakaiba ng edukasyon or profesyon. Hindi ito po yung mga dahilan kung bakit tayo nagsasama-sama at nagiging united po dito sa Crossroads. Ang unity natin dito sa Crossroads is not through blood ties, but according to spiritual ties. It is because of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross para sa ating mga kasalanan. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, we are redeemed, restored, regenerated, justified, and reconciled to God the Father. And so, siya na ang ating Father, then we call one another brothers and sisters. Sabi sa Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 sa Christian Standard Bible, "For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." So si Jesus po ang ating spiritual elder brother. He is the one that unites us dito. This is the reason why our spiritual ties dito sa Crossroads is stronger than sa mga ka-blood ties natin. And minsan that is true, hindi po ba? This explains kung bakit yung feeling natin minsan mas malapit pa tayo sa mga kasamahan natin sa iglesia kaysa sa kamag-anak natin sa Pilipinas o sa mga kababata natin sa Pilipinas na kung saan malapit sa atin. Noon, something had changed. Always na kinikwento sa akin minsan ng ating mga kapatid, especially kung uuwi na sila sa ating bansa, na sila sa'yo, nag-aalala ako dahil wala naman po, babalik na ako sa aking pamilya. Sabi, di ba dapat masaya ka na, makasama mo yung family mo? And sadly, most of them sinasabi, it's because hindi naman kami ganong kasundo. Mas kasundo ko pa yung karamihan ng taga-church. And I ask why, because it feels like there is very minimal yung in common namin. And that is true, ano? At times, totoo po yun. We have a stronger spiritual ties because of Christ. The disciples in the upper room are reunited because of Christ. Tingnan po natin yung verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Sabi ho sa ibang translation, which is NASB, they all were continually united in prayer. A few things about prayer. Una, mapansin natin, they continually prayed together. Continually, corporately prayed together. Mga kaibigan, napaka-importante ng prayer sa life ng isang church. It is very important. I'm not just talking about personal prayers. Okay po yan, we continue praying personally. But I'm talking about the importance of corporate prayer, praying as a church. This is the reason why we pray several times po dito sa ating iglesia. You hear prayers sa ating order of service, a prayer of praise, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of confession, prayer of even petition, because these are important things. Prayer, ito mga prayer na ito, unifies us and brings yung mga requests natin to our God. It is one way of us, one way of our church is saying, Lord, we need you. Lord, we humbly come before you. We are reliant to you. You are our maker. We honor you. We worship you. That unifies us in pag may corporate prayer. May nagtanong kay Charles Spurgeon na sa lahat ng mga meetings daw sa church na ina-attendan niya, ano yung meeting ang hindi niya kayang abandonahin? At ang sagot ni Charles Spurgeon, obviously, is prayer meeting. No? Prayer meeting. And I'll explain why mamaya. But again, just to plug this in, manunumbalik muli po ang ating prayer meeting next month. So I encourage you po, September 9th, mag-start uli tayo. Prayer reminds us we are not God. Prayer also honors God. Prayer strengthens our faith. Prayer fuels the church's worship. Especially when prayer is fueled by God's word. They are not only praying continually and corporately, they're also praying in one accord or one in mind. They're not just praying random prayer requests, yung mga disciples dito, na kung saan ang bawat isa ay may kanya-kanyang mga pangailangan, kanya-kanyang mga prayer requests, mga kanya-kanyang sinasangguni at hinihiling sa Panginoon. Remember, so verse 14 tells us that they were of one mind. So ano po ibig sabihin nito? It means they were desiring the same things. They were believing in the same things. They were asking for the same things. Makita natin that they were committed in prayer. They were engaging and persevering in prayer. Sila ay united sa kanilang prayer, one accord, one impulse, one mind, one in purpose. And what are they praying for? Probably is your question. They are praying the very thing that Jesus told them. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And then it will give you power to advance the gospel to the nations. They are praying the very thing that is in the heart of God. They are praying yung promise ni God. Friends, are we praying the very thing that God wants us to pray for bilang iglesia? And what is that, Pastor? That this church would continue to walk in holiness. That this church would continue to honor our Heavenly Father in our lives, personally and corporately. That we would advance the gospel as a church. That we would continue to know Him more so we can worship Him more. Mentioning a little bit about prayer, I think you noticed that one of the people in that list is Mary. Mary was praying. For those of our Catholic, Roman Catholic friends, this is a good passage from Scripture to allow us to evaluate our beliefs. We don't pray to Mary. Mary prays to God. Mary believes that Jesus is her Savior. Mary needs saving, and she was saved by Jesus Himself. So what does this mean? This means there is no other mediator to God except Jesus Christ. You do not need another mediator or a saint or Mary to go directly to Jesus. He is sitting
at the right hand of the Father, as Hebrews says, interceding for us. So my Catholic brother, my Catholic friend, I encourage you, look at Scripture and inform your understanding about Mary. We believe in Mary is the earthly mother of Jesus, but she should not be prayed for, prayed at, and it should not be worshipped. Number two, search and speak Scripture. Verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. Let me stop right there. From Peter, who denied Christ three times and cower away, to a bold, Scripture-saturated leader. Amazing. Amazing what Jesus can do. Kung babasahin ninyo yung verses 16 to 22 ng Acts 1, obviously, mapapansin ninyo that Peter spent time in God's Word, especially sa Psalms. Marahil siguro during yung 10 days between ang Ascension and pagdating ng Holy Spirit, Peter and the apostles probably ay pinagbubulay-bulayan ng salita ng Diyos. They were meditating Scripture. They were reading. They were searching Scripture. Remember, 40 days with Jesus, when Jesus, before Jesus was crucified, they have no idea sa mga sinasabi ni Jesus Christ that He will die. That destroyed His temple in 3 days, and they have no idea what that means. So yung 40 days of kingdom discipleship, 40 days of saying, I am that fulfillment. Finally, they get to open the Old Testament. Finally, they get to see through fresh eyes. Ha! Ang dami sigurong aha moments sa kanila nung time na yon. Wow, yung pala yon. Ah, ito pala yon. Kind of makes you feel when you see something beautiful sa Scripture, when you see wonderful things in Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God just opens your eyes and opens your hearts. Yun yung kay Peter. And as he reflects Old Testament, nakikita niya lahat, wow, these are all fulfilled in Christ. Kung meron man gospel-centered preaching, si Peter yon. He's gospel-centered. He's Christ-centered in his teaching. At ang focus, however, sa kanilang pag-aaral is yung betrayal and suicide ni Judas. At ang vacancy na iniwan nito sa mga apostles. So according kay Luke, tumayo si Peter, naging bold spokesman ng mga apostles, and talked about Judas' betrayal, Judas' suicide, at ang kailangan na siyang palitan. Nagbigay ng magandang larawan si Peter how Scripture, God's sovereignty, and the inspiration of God's Word works sa situation na ito. First, he tells how Scripture had to be fulfilled. Peter equates Scripture to God's Word. He argues na dahil sovereign ng Diyos, walang nangyayari sa mundo nang hindi niya kinaloob. Ang logical conclusion is that God's Word will always come to pass. Laging mangyayari. And from there, doon pa lang niya siguro naiintindihan ng lahat. And that's why he shared it. Peter, with full apostolic authority, stands and does what Jesus did. Binuksan niya ang Scripture and explained to others bakit nangyari ito kay Judas at ano ang implication nito sa church and sa gospel. Then he showed how inspiration works, verse 16, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. Nag-quote si Peter ng dalawang psalm ni David dito at ipiniliwanag bakit sinulat ni David ito concerning sa events na nangyayari sa kanila noong time na to, noong time na yon. Ang Holy Spirit, ang pinaliwanag ng Holy Spirit, nangusap kay David in a prophetic magnitude that David wrote about Judas, probably doesn't know about Judas, but wrote about Judas centuries before he was even born. The Holy Spirit, through David, spoke hundreds of years into the future and wrote about Judas. Psalm 69, verse 25. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. Psalm 109, verse 8. May his days be few. May another take his office. Pinaliwanag ni Peter na sa Psalm 69 na mababakante ang office ng apostle dahil nga nagpatiwakal si Judas. At sa Psalm 109 naman, sinasabi niya na kinakailangan mapunan ang kakulangan na ito. Kailangan ng isa pang apostle. So Peter proceeds to organize the others and obey what God's word tells them. It's not enough to know God's word. It's not enough to go deep into God's word. It's a wonderful thing to know God's word. But if it does not translate in our lives, in our work, in how we lead our family, in how we raise up our children, in how we deal with our neighbors, then it's useless. Know God's word in order to worship God's word with our lives. Ang pagkamatay ni Judas, medyo marami nalilito eh, alam ko eh. Ano ba nangyari talaga kay Judas? Nagpa-bikti ba o nalaglag ba na aksidente? Well, to make it short, you have to look at the accounts of Matthew at saka Luke to piece it together. Ano? Well, it's just this. Judas found out that Jesus was condemned. He felt remorse, went back to the chief priest, sinasauli yung silver coins, ayaw tanggapin. Sabi niya, dapat hindi niyo ginawa yun, baka pwede, wala, that's your problem, in short, sabi ng mga chief priest. So in short, binalik niya yung pera, sinabog niya. Kinuha ng mga chief priest, pero sa hindi natin pwede ibalik sa treasury kasi ito ay blood money. So nang gagawin natin sa pera, sabi ng chief, bili na lang tayo ng property. Yung potter's lot na tinatawag. And from there, dun lahat ililibing yung mga foreigner para at least may libingan sila. Long story short, Judas, consumed by grief, consumed by remorse, nagbikte. At na, now, people said na bakit bumukas yung kanyang internal organs, bumagsak siya. Well, some scholars believe na habang nagbibikti siya, nagkamali siya at nalaglag siya at tumama siya. You know, parang failed attempt pa. Or kaya naman, tama naman yung pagkakatali niya, kaso bumigay yung branch, kaya bumagsak. Some say naman na medyo ilang araw na siya nakasabit doon. Okay? And nung bumigay na yung branch o yung lubid, bumagsak siya, and then yung internal organs. Now, bakit ganito ka-detailed si Luke dito? He's an historian. He needs to put the details in there. Kasi, anong sinabi dyan sa passage? Kumalat sa buong lugar eh. Alam nila. So, if hindi na-mention ni Luke ito, then, anong sasabi? Ano yung nangyari kay Judas? Sabi ni Theophilus, ba't di mo nilagdag dito? Well, actually, ito yung nangyari. Ang point ay, there was a need for another apostle. Yun yung point. And kailangan palitan na si Judas. So if the 12 apostles were the foundations of the church, then Judas needed to be replaced prior to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit subsequent to Pentecost. And as they choose the next apostle, they must trust the Lord in the process. That's why they need to submit to God's sovereignty. They need to trust God's sovereignty. Verse 21 to 23. One of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. In verses 21 hanggang 26, makita po natin na may process sila sa pagpili ng apostle. There's a process. Unang-una, they need to identify kung sino yung mamang ito. And paano nila galawa? By piecing together a qualification. Okay? There's a certain man na kanilang hinahanap. So upang mabilang sa original 12, the requirements ay dapat ma-meet or ma-satisfy. According kay Peter, dapat mula nung na-baptize si Jesus na John the Baptist, nandun na siya. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, dapat nandun na siya. To the point na naintindihan niya yung teaching and life, walk with Jesus, crucified, nandun siya, and resurrected Christ, nandun din siya, and even to the point of ascending. So in short, dapat nandun sa Mount of Olives when he was ascended. So, eto po yung qualifications. Pero hindi lang ang mga ito, dapat kasama nila sa entire time. In short, walking with them with Jesus. He had also had to be a significant part of the larger group. Hindi lang yung parang sumasabit lang dahil naasahan mo may miracle na gagawin si Jesus. Kasi marami naman sumusunod kay Jesus eh. Diba? Because of what they can get from God. So, hindi dapat ganun. Alright? Ito ang mga requirements that would qualify Judas' replacement as a witness. So, in short, he should have witnessed everything Jesus did and taught. Yun po yun. From the beginning until sa end ng kanyang ministry on earth. So out of the 120 people na nandun sa upper room, dalawa lang ang nag-qualify. Si Joseph at saka si Matthias. Isipin nyo, sa out of 120, ano? Of course, hindi natin alam, pwede lang babae, lang lalaki ron. Pero hindi nakuha si Jude. Hindi nakuha si James or si Judas. Sino si Judas at si James at si Judas? Mga half-brother ni Jesus. Mga half-brother ni Jesus. Of course, kasi before, hindi naman sila niniwala kay Jesus. Late na lang, sa resurrection na niniwala. Pero itong mga tao na to, nung bata pa kasama si Jesus. Siguro by that time, may nakikita na silang kakaiba, pero they still did not believe. But once Jesus was raised, they too became followers and even leaders in the church. Just a small reflection sa atin. This reminds us na hindi purki lumaki tayo sa Christian family, Christian home, know all of the verses, ay Christian na po tayo. We still need to be saved. It's not enough to know about Jesus. The question is, do you believe and trust that Jesus you know from Scripture? So kung ito ang qualifications ng apostles, ibig sabihin po niyan, wala nang apostles ka makukuha na may qualifications ng ganito sa panahon natin ngayon. Hindi po ba? So if someone comes to you and tells you, ako'y isang apostle, tignan nyo kagad yung qualification. O kaya kabahan na po kayo. Ay hindi, pastor, okay kami sa qualification. Sabi niya, mula pa raw nung nabaptize si Jesus, kay John the Baptist, nandun na daw siya. Nandun daw siya nung beginning ng ministry ni Jesus. Kasama na niya. Nung napako raw sa krus si Jesus Christ, nandun din daw siya. Sa babaan nga raw siya eh. Umiiyak siya ron. Nandun din siya nung namatay si Jesus, pastor. And from there, nung na-resurrect si Jesus at na-ascend, nandun daw siya. In spirit and in truth, pastor, apostol daw siya. Great! Then, sino yung apostle sa pwedeng mag-clarify niyan o mag-affirm niyan? Kasi kailangan may apostles na original 11 or 12 na mag-affirm niyan. Paul was unique sa kanyang apostleship, but he was affirmed by the apostles, the original apostles. So kung meron man nagkiklaim these qualifications, plus kung buhay pa yung ibang apostles ng original, dapat i-affirm nila. So in short, wala. Okay? So wala po. So be careful na may nagsabing apostle ako at susundin kita o sundin niyo ako. So ito ang requirements that would qualify Judas' replacement as witness. All right. So first, they choose the man by setting up qualifications. Number two, they pray. They pray. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." They need to pray sa kalooban ng Panginoon. So they were praying. Someone may nagtanong, bakit hindi inuna yung prayer? Bakit inuna yung pagpili? Well, it's because obviously meron ng dalawa that are qualified, so just they need to pray na lang na kung hindi sino yung mga tao na to, kasi it already presented na dalawa ang qualified, so they pray either one of the two na lang. So I think it's more a practical reason. Third, after praying, kailangan mag-cast lots. Kailangan mag-cast ng lots. Verse 26, and they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Lots are made out of stone, or minsan, wood chip, na nilalagyan po ng mga markings, and then it's shaken out. No? So I have no idea kung paano yung principle na kung saan the lot fell to. Hindi ko alam ang itsura nun. Hindi ko alam kung anong ang ibig sabihin nun. Pero as they cast lots, napili ho si Matthias. Alright? So, ang application ba nito, Pastor, that we should choose our elders and deacons sa ganitong paraan? I think yun yung immediate application nito. Let's cast lots para pili nito yung susunod na elder natin. So parang dice, no? Of course, this was practiced nung old covenant times, pero after dumating na ng Holy Spirit ng Panginoon, ng Pentecost, hindi na ito na-practice. And especially, buo na yung salita ng Diyos. So sufficient na yung salita ng Diyos, sufficient na yung Spirito ng Diyos in order for us to make those decisions. Although the Lord, through His Word, has given us qualifications. Qualifications for the office of elder and deacons. Na matatagpuan po sa 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. First, what we do dito sa Crossroads, we identify, pagdating sa elders, we identify men. Men na may elder type qualities. Men, hindi mukhang elderly. No, don't get me. Sige, pastor-like qualities. Kung saan, they are already eldering. They're already serving. Okay? Plus, yung mga qualifications, yung kanilang character traits ay somehow, it seems like masasatisfy siya sa 1 Timothy chapter 3. The same thing also when we're choosing deacons. We believe na kung saan, deacon can be both male and female because of the condition na wala yung isang qualification from the previous verses na kung saan able to teach. Hindi required ang deacons na maging able to teach. So in short, they are there to serve and to be our gifts mismo sa church, and we need to be praying for more deacons sa Crossroads. So how do we apply this passage, Pastor? Well, ang dahilan kung bakit nilagay ni Luke ang storya na ito sa passage, hindi primarily para tulungan tayo i-discern ang kalooban ni Lord in choosing kung ano yung leaders natin sa church, or in any decision-making sa buhay natin, Christian. Hindi ito yung primary reason. Although we can learn some principles sa tinuro ng passage na ito in decision-making. Nandito ang istorya na ito upang ipakita sa atin how God sovereignly works to advance the gospel to the nations through the local church, through His church. Yung po yung main point po niya ng chapter 1. It was preparing for chapter 2, pagdating na ng Holy Spirit. At malaki ang kahalagahan na mabuo yung 12 apostles. Napaka-importante po kasi unang-una, crucial ang role nila in advance the gospel as witnesses. Kasi they were the eyewitnesses of the risen King Jesus. Sila ang first-hand disciples ni Christ. Kaya crucial ang accuracy ng pagpas ng teachings ni Christ. Also, Jesus said that they would have a unique role sa coming kingdom and will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Matthew 19, verse 28, Luke 22, verse 28. So, importante, mahalaga po sa foundation ng church yung mabuo yung 12 apostles. So, Pastor, what about discerning God's will for our lives? In decision-making, paano yun? Well, we all know, if you have attended our decisions class, we talked about meron tinatawag na God's hidden will and God's revealed will. The hidden will of God, hindi natin malalaman now. Or maybe in this lifetime, sometimes He does in retrospect, titingnan natin, ah, that is God's sovereign will. But sometimes we will never. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things are of the Lord's. So, pero may tinatawag na revealed will. Revealed will is basically found in the pages of Scripture. If we want to know God's will for our lives, then we need God's Word. You want to know God's will, then we have to know God's Word. We need to pray God's Word. We need to practically gather all of the information na kakailanganin natin in order to collect yung data na yan in, to make a wise decision. And we need to ask God's people in guiding us sa decision making. And not just any people, but godly people. People na kung saan who are experts even sa larangan ng inyong decision making. In short, as Christians, sa pagdating sa decision making, we should be focusing more hindi sa output. We should, and then we shared this a class, we talked about output focused decision maker na kung saan you're always concerned about the output. Of course, we want positive outputs, pero hindi naka-anchor yung hope mo ron. What we want to be is to be faithfulness-focused decision makers. Now, we will do all that we can faithfully sa harapan and pleasing sa harap ng Diyan and leave the results to God. Because ang goal natin sa faithfulness focus is to be good stewards sa lahat ng mga pinagkatiwala sa atin ng Panginoon. That we long for that day that He will tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Friends, are we praying prayers that are related in advancing the gospel? Are you praying prayers na related sa pag-advance ng gospel? Sa paghanap mo ng trabaho, paglipat mo ng lugar, pagbisita mo sa mga kaibigan mo, pagbili mo ng isang bagay. Ano ang mga gospel, ano mga opportunities for the gospel ang pwede natin gawin dyan? Are you praying for the advancement of the gospel? Are your prayers in line with God's will? And we know that our prayers are in line with God's will if it's in line with God's word. Are you praying for the same things God desires? Let's look to those in the upper room people and see how they prayed faithfully for the advancement of the gospel as they pray that the Spirit would come so that they would bring the gospel to the nations. And we will see yung prayer request nila sa passage na to will be answered powerfully next week as we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yung manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Yun yung pinagpe-pray nilang ilang araw, dumating na. God loves to answer prayer requests na kung saan galing sa salita niya. Followers of Jesus constantly pray, search the Scripture, and trust God's sovereignty as they discern God's will, as they wait for God's will. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. Because of your word, we get to see wonderful things about you. We're thankful that you have saved us, and now you have entrusted us with this precious gospel to advance to the nations. Help us, Lord, to pray prayers that are aligned sa salita mo. Will you help us, Holy Spirit, to discern well? And I pray, Lord, that you would surround us with brothers and sisters who would guide us. Help us not to make decisions that would cause us to sin. Help us not to make decisions that would cause others to sin. Our desire is to be good stewards of what you have entrusted us. We pray, Father, that as we live the Christian life this week, that we would be reminded of what you have done on the cross, but we would be reminded of the gospel. I pray that every person na makita namin sa metro, regardless kung anong lahi, that we would view them as people who needs Christ. Would you give us boldness? Would you give us the heart to take that initiative and trust you with the results? And as we remember you this week, with the gospel, we pray tonight that we would remember once again the gospel as we go to the time ng Lord's Supper. Would you bless itong time na ito, Lord? In Christ's name, amen.